And so a gentle person, you know, they're very rare these days, because I think with the pandemic and other issues and stresses of life, tempers are very short. Have you noticed that? Anger is just right under the surface in a lot of people's lives. You know, you say something and maybe it's taken the wrong way and somebody gets upset and anger flares. And we see that a lot in society today because of just the pressures and stress of what everybody's been through. But a gentle person is not one to be violent, harsh, or rough. In Job 15:11, Eliphaz asked this question to Job. He says, "Are God's consolations not enough for you? Words spoken gently to you. Are God's consolations not enough for you? His words that are spoken gently to you." You know, God disciplines us when he has to, but he does it in a way that is always for our good and for our best. The Bible says in Hebrews, we submit to our earthly parents and have been disciplined by them. So how much more should we submit to the discipline of our Heavenly Father when he does what is absolutely best for us? Our earthly parents did what they thought was best, did the best that they could, maybe with the knowledge they had and the way they were raised, but God always does it for our best every single time. And so my question to us this morning is, are God's consolations enough for us today? The Word of God, is that enough for us? And the consolation that we find in his Word, those promises that are there that we can claim, that we can stand on, are those consolations of the Lord enough for us? The Bible says, in the multitude of my thoughts within me, your comforts bring delight to my soul. In the multitudes of all the what-ifs of our minds, all the thoughts that roll through our minds in a given day, in the multitude of our thoughts within us, his comforts bring delight to our soul. The Comforter himself, the Holy Spirit, will bring delight to our soul if we let him to. But are those consolations of God, are they enough for us today? Are we willing to let God speak to our hearts and settle us down in the midst of stress and trouble and worry and fear and doubt and unbelief? Are we willing to let God's consolations really minister to us in our times of need? In 1 Kings 19, we find another example of the gentle word of the Lord. 1 Kings chapter 19, and we're going to pick up at verse number 9. This is where the Lord appears to Elijah. He had just had a great victory over the prophets of Baal. And then Jezebel finds out what Elijah did, and she tells him, by this time tomorrow, you're going to be just like them. I'm going to have you killed. And so Elijah flees for his life. And so he finds a place in a cave, and he spends the night. And we pick up the word here. It says, and the word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? What's up? You just had this great victory. Now you're running scared. So what are you doing here? The Lord asks him. He replies in verse 10, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant. They've broken down your altars, and they put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they're trying to kill me too. Elijah has the Lone Ranger syndrome. He says, I'm the only one left. There's nobody else that's serving you but me. We find out later that there were about 7,000 in Israel that had not bowed their knee to the god Baal at that time. And so there were 7,000 plus him that were still serving God. Verse 11 says, the Lord said to him, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. What a statement. The Lord is telling him, he said, I want you to go out of this cave that you're hiding in, that you're fearful of this queen that's about to, she's threatening to kill you. I want you to go out of this cave, and I want you to stand on the mountain, and you're going to be in the presence of the Lord, because the Lord is about to pass by. You know, there's a place in the New Testament where a little man called Zacchaeus, one of our Sunday school lessons from years ago, Zacchaeus hears that Jesus is about to pass by. And because he's so small, so short, he runs and he climbs a tree. because he knows that's the route, that's the path that Jesus and everybody following him is going to take. And so Zacchaeus is up in the tree because he heard that the Lord is about to pass by. If you knew the Lord was about to pass by, what would you do? What would you change maybe in your life, in your schedule? Would you have room for Jesus, for him to pass by? And would you be excited about that, or would you be fearful about that, or how would you feel about that? But the Lord is telling him, Elijah, go out. You'll be in the presence of the Lord standing on this mountain because I'm about to pass by. And so then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart, shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. You would think, boy, this awesome wind, this awesome power that's being displayed, surely God is in that. But then after the wind, there was an earthquake. We need to pray for the folks in Haiti this morning, a devastating earthquake once again in that tiny country. They can't ever seem to get on their feet. They've endured such corrupt politicians that the money never seems to reach the people. It only reaches the powerful. But there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. What? The earth is shaking, moving. Surely that's the presence of God. Surely that's what God would do. Surely that has to be God. But he was not in the earthquake. And then after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. What? We know that the Holy Spirit came in fire on the day of Pentecost. Cloven tongues like as a fire came and sat upon each one of the 120 in the upper room. Surely that's fire. That symbol of fire is the Holy Spirit. That's the presence of God, right? No, he was not in the fire. But then after the fire, after the wind and the earthquake and the fire, there came a gentle whisper. There came a still, small voice. That was the presence of God. We in Pentecostal circles, we used to think the louder a preacher was, the more anointed he was, or if Sister So-and-so got up and shouted, or Brother So-and-so got up and gave a testimony, oh, that was God, that was God. That, we know the emotion. Our pastor always said, if you're all emotion, you're going to blow up. If you're all intellect, you're going to dry up. If you mix the two together, you'll grow up. I want us to find balance of emotion and intellect, and I want us to grow in God, grow in knowledge of him, grow in his word. And so there was a gentle whisper, a still, small voice of God, and that was the presence of the living God. In Isaiah chapter 40, I want to turn there real quickly. Isaiah chapter number 40. I think most of these you'll have on the screen. Some you may not, so hang with me. Isaiah chapter 40, and just a couple of verses there, 10 and 11. It says this, "See, the sovereign Lord comes with power. He comes with power, and his arm rules for him. His arm, his right arm, is a symbol of strength. See, his reward is with him." Those of us that know Jesus as Savior, one day we're going to receive our reward. Amen? And there's a lot of different things that we're going to receive. Each of us will get a crown, the crown of life, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to all that know him and serve him. But also just heaven itself is a reward, you know? A room in our Father's house. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll bring you to myself, that where I am, you can be also. His reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. But then I love this, verse 11. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms, and he carries them close to his heart, and he gently leads those that have young. These verses really go well with what we're doing today with this baby dedication this morning, these precious children. The Lord is like a shepherd. David said, the Lord is my shepherd, and because he is, I shall not be in want. I'll not want for anything because he's my shepherd. So God tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms, and he carries them close to his heart. We need to understand how much God loves us, every one of us, every one of us on this planet, saint and sinner alike. If the worst sinner on the planet was the only one on the planet, Jesus would have still gone to the cross. He would have still died for that one rank sinner, the worst sinner you can imagine. He would have still died for that one person, because he gathers the lambs in his arms and he carries us close to his heart. And then he gently leads those that have young. You know, there's not a manual, Zach and Christine, there's no manual to tell you really how to raise these girls. You're going to learn as you go. You know, now there's books out there, people can advise you, but you're going to learn as you go. And, you know, it's okay, because that's how they've all done it. That's how everyone has done it. You learn as you go. But God's going to give you direction in that area. He's going to gently lead those of you that have these young children. God's going to lead you. The Membrano families, God's going to lead you guys in directing your children. All of us, God has led you as you directed your children. They're grown now. Some of you, you've got grandchildren. Some of them maybe great-grandchildren. But God has used you as an influence in their lives. That's why every family member that came this morning, they're going to have an influence in Alexis and Olivia's lives. Jesus says, I'm going to gently lead those of you that have young. It'll be okay. It's going to work out, and it'll be a blessing. Now, another one is found in Zechariah 9:9. The title here, the subtitle, is The Coming of Zion's King. It says this, Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you. I love the fact that God always comes to us. I love the fact that Jesus will come to us. I love the fact that the Holy Spirit comes in when we invite him to come in. He says, he will come to you. Your king comes to you. He's righteous, and he has salvation, and he's what? He's gentle, the gentleness of our Lord. He's gentle, and he's riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. This prophecy was fulfilled in the 21st chapter of Matthew. Let's go there real quickly. Matthew chapter 21. Matthew 21, and this is the triumphal entry, of course. And that's where the prophecy was fulfilled. Okay, I'm going to kind of go through some of this, not all of this. I just want to start at the beginning, and then we'll close a little bit early on that portion, okay? It's the triumphal entry, Matthew 21 and verse 1. As they approached Jerusalem and they came to the city of Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you're going to find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me, and if anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he'll send them right away. And again, here it is. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to the daughter of Zion, See, your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. That's where I'm going to stop with that portion, Kay. I really love the fact that this prophecy of Zechariah was fulfilled a few hundred years later when Jesus rode that donkey, the prophetic donkey, into the city of Jerusalem at the triumphal entry. I love it. Then in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1, Paul tells the church in Corinth, By the meekness and the gentleness of Christ, I appeal to you. Paul says, I appeal to you on the basis of this, the meekness and the gentleness of Christ. I want you to know this Jesus who gave his life for our sins. I want to introduce you to this Jesus that is gentle and lowly in heart. I want to introduce you to this Jesus who is meek and mild and yet is the most powerful person that you'll ever meet. And I want to come to you and appeal to you on the basis of his meekness and his gentleness. And then I love this, and I've quoted it a couple of times already this morning in Matthew 11, verses 28 to 30, and I love this. He says, Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. I think the whole planet is weary and burdened at this point, right? With all the stuff that we hear daily. If you're watching the news, if you're listening to the news, if you're reading news reports, it has inflicted so much fear on our planet. I think that's the real plan of the enemy right there of our soul, is the fear. Even worse than the physical sickness and death and all that COVID has brought, I think the most devastating impact that COVID has had is fear. Because the enemy won by putting this planet in a fearful state. Why? Because the Bible says fear has torment. And so the devil is accomplishing exactly what he wants on this planet right now by tormenting all of us with the fear of what if, all the what ifs that roll through our minds. And so the enemy has won in that respect, in that he has inflicted this planet with the torment of fear. And that's his job, is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's the devil's job. But Jesus said, but I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly, and that you might enjoy it to the full. The Bible says God has provided all things richly for our enjoyment. So are you enjoying life? Are you enjoying the blessings of God in your life? Are you grateful for those blessings? Life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. It's written in our Declaration of Independence. But we need to know the one that only the Father of Heaven can give to us. Real life, real happiness, real joy, real independence, real liberty, real freedom. Only God can free us from the burden of sin and slavery to it. So come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I, Jesus, will give you rest. Some of you just need to rest. You need to just relax. You need to let the Holy Spirit just breathe on you. Old chorus, let him breathe on me. Let him breathe on me. Just let the breath of God now breathe on me. Amen? I pray every day, Father, breathe into me the breath of life. Your breath, your life. Just breathe that into me. I pray it over you, all of you, that God will do the same for you and for everyone in your families. I pray that God will allow you to just breathe in the breath of life, his breath, his life. That's what we need. Then he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am what? I'm gentle and I'm humble in heart, and you're going to find rest for your souls. Rest for your souls. God wants to give you not just a physical rest, not just a mental rest, but he wants to give you a rest to the depths of your being, to the depths of your very soul. He says, I want to give you rest. Because he says, my yoke is easy. My yoke is easy. In the agricultural society, in the old days, there was a yoke that was placed on a team of oxen. And that yoke was heavy. It was burdensome. They would yoke two of these oxen together, and they would plow the fields. They would plow the fields, and that yoke was just so hard on them. But he says, my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Some of us carry burdens that God never intended us to carry. And so we need to cast all of our burden upon the Lord. Why? Because he will sustain us. In the midst of everything that you and I are going through and that we've been through and that we will go through in the future, because it ain't over yet. It ain't over yet. The Bible says these things are not going to get easier. It's going to get harder the closer to the return of Christ that we come. Now, there's not a lot of TV preachers that are going to tell you that, but this pastor is going to let you know, the Bible says evil seducers in the last days, it's going to wax worse and worse. Perilous times are going to come, Paul says. He warns us. So let's go into this with open eyes. Let's don't go into this blind thinking that, oh, you receive Christ and everything's hunky-dory the rest of the way. No, Jesus said you better count the cost, because there's a cost in following Christ. There's a price to be paid in following Jesus. So count it before you start. Because if you start and you turn away, you look back, he said you're not fit for the kingdom of heaven if you turn away from it. So we need to be careful. Count the cost. And let's see, is this really what we want to do? And I can tell you that for this man who at age 19 gave his heart to the Lord, I've never wanted to turn back. Now, I haven't always liked everything that Jesus allowed in my life. Haven't always understood everything that has come my way in life. But I've never wanted to turn back, because I served the devil long enough that I knew he was a liar and the father of it. And what he promised, he never fulfilled. There was pleasure in sin, but it only lasted for a season, for a little while. But Jesus says, when you come to me, he said, the rest, the peace that I give you, it'll last throughout all of eternity, this life and the one to come. That's why for a Christian, even though everyone is going to pass one day if Jesus delays his coming, everyone will pass, but we know that even though that would happen, we go to a place called heaven. And he says there are pleasures there beyond our wildest imaginations, beyond our wildest dreams, the things that God has prepared for those of us that love him. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Let's tap into that and let the Lord help us with that. Praise God. If I can get to my next page, I'm good. Here we go. Let's go to Matthew chapter 12. Let's back up a few chapters. Matthew chapter 12. And we're going to pick up at verse number 15. And I really like this. Matthew 12 and beginning at verse number 15. This is about God's chosen servant. And the Bible says this: aware of this, that the Pharisees, earlier in this same chapter, the Pharisees are plotting to kill him. So he was aware of the plot. He found out about it. And he withdrew from that place. He left. Many followed him, and he healed all their sick. And he warned them not to tell who he was. He didn't want people to tell that he was the Son of God. It wasn't his time yet. He wasn't wanting to make that revelation public yet. So he, when they would call him that, he warned them, don't tell who I am. And this was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. Catch this real carefully. Isaiah prophesied hundreds of years before. He says, here is my servant. God obviously speaking, Isaiah writing this. And God says, here is my servant, Jesus, whom I have chosen, the one I love, the one in whom I delight. We're going to be sharing a few messages coming up. Next Sunday is going to be our portion. We're going to be talking about our portion. And the Sunday after that, we're going to talk about our delight, how that God is the delight of our soul. And I love this. God says about Jesus, here is my servant whom I have chosen, the one that I love. Remember in Scripture, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. God said that two or three times in the New Testament. He's the one in whom I delight. You know something? If you know Jesus as your Savior this morning, God loves you. And more than that, God delights in you. God delights in each one of you that know Jesus. You are his delight. And the Bible says in Zephaniah 3:17 that the Lord even rejoices over every one of his children with singing. God sings over us. Can you believe that? The Father in heaven, sitting on his throne, he sings over us. He sings over us. He delights in you and me. He delights. He loves us. Proved it by letting Jesus die for us. He continues this prophetic word about Jesus. He says this in verse 19. Excuse me, let's go a little bit before that. He says, I'm going to put my spirit on him. I'm going to put the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon this servant, Jesus, that I'm going to send you. Emmanuel, God with us, fully God, fully human, amazing combination. No one ever before like that. I will put my spirit on him. I'll anoint him. And he, Jesus, will proclaim justice to the nations. There's coming a day when that's going to happen. Jesus will come back and he'll proclaim justice to the nations of this world, this planet. And then look at this in verse 19. He, Jesus, he's not going to quarrel and he's not going to cry out. No one will hear his voice in the streets. And then I love this verse, verse 20. A bruised reed, Jesus is not going to break off. And a smoldering wick, he is not going to snuff out. What are we talking about this morning? We're talking about the gentleness of the Lord, the gentleness of Jesus. And the Bible says of this prophetic word about Christ, a bruised reed, he's not going to break off. If you go along the bayous of South Louisiana and some of the lakes even around here in Central and South Florida, you see these reeds that grow up out of the edges of the lakes or the edges of a bayou or whatever, and they grow up, they're wild, and They're just these reeds that grow up, and they're pretty. They're not really any flowers on them. There's just this brown stalk-like thing at the top, you know. And sometimes the wind or someone going by will maybe snap that, and it'll just be like hanging. And so it's bruised, it's broken. But the Bible says about Jesus, a bruised reed, even something like that, that's just, it's nothing, it's insignificant. But he would not come along and just snap it off and throw it to the ground. That's the gentleness of the Lord. A bruised reed, he's not going to break off. That's how compassionate he is. And a smoldering wick, you can take a candle and you blow it out, and there's that still stream of smoke that's floating gently above. And there might still be a little red ember there, you know? And if you don't do that first, it's going to burn you, you know, if you try to put it out with your finger. But the Bible says about Jesus, so gentle, that a smoldering wick like that, he's not going to snuff it out. He's not going to come along and quench that one last ember of light, that one last ember of heat that's being projected. He's not going to come and snuff it out. That's the gentleness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so you and I, sometimes we're like a broken reed in life. We're broken by people that have hurt us, said something maybe about us, against us. You know, someone that you dearly loved and you thought loved you, and maybe they did love you at one time, and yet they've turned away from you. They've hurt you. They've distanced themselves from you. Sometimes you know why. Sometimes you may not. You're like a bruised reed. You've been bruised. You've been broken. Your heart, your spirit, your will maybe has been broken. And then you're like that smoldering wick that you feel like, man, I've done my best, I've given my all, and I just feel so empty. I feel like I'm about to just be snuffed out. God says, I'm not going to snuff you out. I'm going to bring you back. I'm going to bring you back. So wherever you are this morning, whatever the needs are in your life this morning, God wants to bring you back. God wants to restore to you the joy of your salvation if you've lost it. Paul asked the question, what's happened to all your joy? He asked that because joy is our strength. And so this morning, whatever you need, God wants to bring you back. God wants to strengthen you. God wants to enable you. Because if you're broken, he's not going to snap you off and walk away. If you're about to go out, that light's about to go out, he's not going to snuff you out. He's going to bring you back. So this morning, I want us to pray. Let's ask God to touch each one of us this morning. Again, at the point of our need, whatever that is today, God knows what it is. You know what it is. You know what's stressing you out. You know what's keeping you awake at night. You know what's worrying you. You know what's been on your mind. The Bible says we can cast all of our care upon him. Why? Because he cares for us. That's the gentleness of the Lord that we serve.